The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Good morning. It is a real privilege this morning to worship Jesus with you, and it's also always a real privilege to be able to open God's Word and share a few thoughts with you. I would love to encourage you to grab your Bible or your smartphone, whatever you use to read the Word these days. And also in your community life, you'll notice there's a section there where you can take some notes. Encourage you to do that as you follow along this morning. Now, our series, our John series, is entitled John's Gospel, Written So You Will Believe. And today we're focusing on John 15. I am the vine, and you can see the vine very appropriately makes its way all the way through our mural today. So before we get stuck into the text, I would like to pray. So please join with me as I do that. Jesus, I want to start off just by thanking you for your unconditional love. Lord, your unconditional love that you lavish upon us. Thank you so much. And we thank you for guiding us, for protecting us, for providing for us throughout this past week. And Lord, I thank you for the way that you've already spoken to us during this worship service. Lord, it's my heart and it's my prayer that you would continue to speak to us by your Spirit and through your Word. May our hearts be open and soft to hear you and to be changed by you. Lord, I want to again pray for our children and our children's ministry. Lord, bless their leaders as they teach, and bless our little people as they grow as young disciples. I pray these things in your mighty name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks, church. Well, for those of you who don't know me that well, and some of you may know this already, but before I jumped into ministry 17 years ago, I was a turf manager. Now, a turf manager is just a fancy way of saying lawnmower man. Okay? I was a lawnmower man for 3 years, mowing lawns, looking after people's gardens, and doing landscape gardening. So we would come to a brand new house, we'd put retic in, we'd put grass in, we would make that thing look $1 million. And it was a great job. It was a great job. But it's interesting sort of how I came into it. I don't have a lot of time to speak to you about how it all came about, but the reality is that I was aiming to be a primary school teacher, and back then you used to get a score out of 510. I needed 310, and I got 309.3. So I was like, man, what am I going to do? And so it's interesting, in the first service, my boss from 17 years ago was here, Graham. And he got on the phone and he said, mate, got a job for you. Why don't you come and work for me as a lawnmower man for 3 years? And I thought, why not? I've got nothing else to do. So that's what I did. And it was great because over that time, it gave me a work ethic, which is something I probably wouldn't have got if I'd done that kind of manual labour and had to work hard. I was also given experience in what it meant to manage a small business, which was fantastic. Also taught how to handle money and also customers and people. And if you're in retail or providing a service, you know, that's always an interesting challenge, working with people. But you know what? The other great thing about being a lawnmower man was that it gave me heaps of really good illustrations and really good stories. And I want to share one of them with you this morning. Now, I remember this one particular day. We used to mow lawns sort of in that Booragoon region, and I rocked up to this one place in Booragoon, nice house, nice gardens, nice lawn. We used to go there fairly regularly, and that's the key to having a really good lawn, is just mowing it regularly. And so we'd go there every 2 weeks, and I rocked up to this place in Booragoon and did all the front mowing, went out the back, and at the back they had this pergola, beautiful pergola, And up one of the posts, pergola posts, this vine, this grapevine would sort of wind its way up and grow, form this beautiful canopy. And it used to also have some of the best grapes that I've ever tasted. And yeah, that is a confession. I did steal the odd grape or two when I mowed that place. And they were beautiful. I'd finish the lawn, I'd grab a bunch and get in the truck, go to the next job. And I'd munch away on these beautiful sweet grapes. Well, this particular day, it was going pretty good. I mowed the lawn and back and forwards. I stood back and went, wow, that looks great. Got the whippersnipper out and I was doing what I do best. And you go around the edges because you whippersnip the grass that the mower couldn't get to. So I'm whippersnipping along, got my earmuffs on in my own world. And remember that this pergola, this post with this vine growing up, it was right on the edge of this lawn. And so I'm just, you know, whippersnipping away and then shoom, through the bottom of this vine. And I sort of stood back and I went, oh, that's not good, hey. And I thought, and this is the point where my memory gets a little bit hazy. Because I can't remember what I kind of did. I'm pretty sure I would have gone back to Graham, my boss, and said, hey, mate, I've done this and it's not good because, you know, we all know what's going to happen to this vine. And I'm pretty sure we rang up and we apologized. And anyway, you know, 2 weeks' time, I rocked back up to this place. And yes, I probably wouldn't have allowed me to come back if I was me, if that was my vine, but I did. And anyway, I went out the back and I looked at this vine and then, you know, you can already imagine what it had started to look like. It started going brown. And it's like that picture there. It was all over, beautiful. And it had started going brown. Then 2 weeks later, I went back and the grapes were all shriveled up. The vine was not good, not in a good way. It was dead. And it was totally withered. At one stage in its life, this vine had produced amazing, amazing fruit. But now it was not really good for anything except kind of cutting down, mulching up, and putting it in a garden bin. Now, today's passage, we know that Jesus is the master storyteller. And he uses in today's passage a metaphor, the metaphor of the grapevine. And he essentially does that to urge his disciples to abide in him, to stay connected to him. Now, from the scripture, we will read in a moment that he is the vine, we are the branches, and God is the gardener. Or, sometimes can't say this very well, but the technical term is the viticulturist. See, I don't say it very well, do I? But did you know that viticulture is the science, the production and the study of grapes? And the reality is, for this time with Jesus and the disciples, this would have been a particularly common feature of Palestinian life, grapes and vines. And it would have been really, really familiar to them. So I've asked Noella, is she still in the building? She's up the back, fantastic. Noella, you're going to, if you could read out John 15, 1 through to 17. This is the Message version. It's going to be up on the screen, so please follow along.
I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape-bearing he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is, when you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done, kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy and your joy wholly mature. This is my command. Love one another the way I loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants, because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. You didn't choose me, remember? I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives you. But remember the root command, love one another.
And that's God's word for us this morning. Thank you, Noella. Well, having pondered this passage throughout this week, I think the big idea, I think the main concept is extremely clear. And that is simply this. If you don't get anything else today, I want you to take this home. Abide in me. Abide in me. Jesus is urging his disciples to abide in him, and he's urging us to do exactly the same thing. Now, abiding is not really a term we use too much these days. I wonder if anyone's used that this week in a sentence. You know, I certainly haven't. It's kind of a bit of an old school word. But abiding simply means to stay, to stand, to endure, to reside, to dwell, to bear, to remain in something, to be connected, to be united. And the message translates it as making ourselves at home in him. Making ourselves at home in Christ. What does that look like? Well, this week, last Sunday, I received a phone call from a really close friend of ours, and that's Christina. Christina Palethorpe, Christina and Gary, part of our congregation. And that phone call wasn't a great phone call, because that phone call was about Tony, her father, who had just suffered a massive stroke. And so this week, for most of the week, I ventured into the hospital just to pray with Tony and to, you know, hold his hand and to pray for him and speak to him and just to be beside Christina and Gary. And it's also Dave's brother-in-law. So if you remember to pray for Tony, he's got a long way to go. He needs a miracle. So being thrust into this situation, it kind of got us reminiscing, you know, reminiscing about Tony. And, you know, I've had the privilege of knowing Tony for quite some time. And just recently, about 3 or 4 months ago, we were invited up to the farm. He's a farmer in Harvey, and he's got a beautiful farm, beautiful property. And we spent the day there, probably about 4 or 5 families, all of our children, and Tony just was in his element, showing us all the different things, his sheds and tractors, and it was just fantastic. It was a special day. But the thing that I remember most about that time was when we had just finished a barbecue, we'd served all the kids their food. There was probably about, I don't know, 12, 15 kids, and they were all piled into this small area, all sitting on the ground, this tile, sitting in the front of the TV. I think the footy was on. And I remember Tony sort of coming up to me, sort of coming beside me, and he just sort of tapped me and said, "Look at these kids. They are amazing, you know, because our kids were just outstanding. They were in somebody else's home, and their behaviour was great." And he noticed it. And he was like, these kids are so good. And anyway, he went and sat in his chair. You know how maybe your grandmother or grandfather had a special chair? Well, he went, sat in his special chair, and we knew it was his special chair because no one else was sitting in it. And he sat down, and I remember looking over at Tony, and he had this huge smile on his face. And as I've reflected on that, and as I've reflected on this passage, and this whole idea of making ourselves at home in Christ, Tony was absolutely thrilled that he had opened up his home and we had made ourselves at home in that space. It was a beautiful picture, and it's a picture that I'll never forget. And you know what? I can see God doing exactly the same thing with us, with his children. It's taking a step back from time to time and just being absolutely overwhelmed by us, his children, his kids, as we make ourselves at home in him. It's a beautiful picture. It's a picture of love, and it captures what I believe, what it means to abide in him, to make ourselves in him. So as we look a bit deeper into this text, I want to ask a couple of really simple questions. I'm a simple guy. So two questions with a couple of points that go with them. So the first question is this: why do we need to abide in Jesus? Why do we need to make ourselves at home in him? In verse 5, I'm going to switch back to the NIV now. I'm going to just use the NIV for the rest of our time together. But it says this: I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So the first point here is, if we abide in Christ, we will bear much fruit. The metaphor is really quite simple, isn't it? If we stay connected to Jesus, if we stay connected to the vine, the source of life, we will bear fruit. It's not rocket science, is it? What is that fruit? Well, I'm not sure whether you can see, or you can see that image there. You know, all of those beautiful things, the fruit of the Spirit. It's what we're talking about. Love, joy, peace. And I want to ask you a question. Can you think of a time, as you reflect upon your life, a time when you were most fruitful? What was going on for you at that time? I bet it was when you were super connected to Jesus, where you guys were tight. Maybe it was a mission trip. Maybe it was just a real good, solid season of prayer, a really good, solid season of being in the Word. Maybe it was just a really good season where you were focused on him. Maybe it was a great season where you had just gone, you know what, I'm gonna obey what Jesus says. And you had a great season of obedience. And that leads me to ask, what is the quality of the fruit in your life at the moment? It's worth thinking about. You see, church, this is what we're called to do. This is why we're in this world as his disciples. We're here and we're called to bear fruit, and fruit that'll last. And in order for us to do that, we need to stay close to Jesus. We need to stay connected to the vine, and then we'll see, and then we'll bear fruit. And then it's interesting, in the second part of this verse, it says this: apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Got to stay connected. The second point is, if we don't abide in Christ, so I'm going to put the negative hat on, if we don't abide in Christ, we wither and we die. Verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If we don't stay connected to Jesus, we wither and we become unfruitful. You know, just like that grapevine story I started with, I whippersnipped it. I cut an essential part of that vine away from the source. And over those coming weeks and months, that vine withered and died. I don't know about you, but when you look at maybe that sort of last phrase in that verse, it's an interesting one. It's a hugely debated part of this verse, you know, where it talks about thrown into the fire and burned. You know, I probably could have quite easily just brushed over this, but I thought it would be worth spending a bit of time looking at that because it is interesting. Is it referring to hell? Is this verse referring to hell? I guess as I dug a little bit, and as I read some commentators and things, what we do know is that that would have been fairly common practice back in the day. A gardener would have gone around with his secateurs, probably wasn't secateurs, we use secateurs today, but, you know, cutting off all these branches, and then some would have fallen to the ground, some would have been dead, they cut them all off, they bundle them all up, and the practice was to grab them and to do what? Throw them on a fire to dispose of them. You know, we probably wouldn't burn them today. We would probably put them in a garden bag, or we probably put them, shred it all up and put them back onto the garden. Now, so that's my first point. That's pretty common practice for what they did. But some commentators argue that this part of the verse is referring to the events surrounding what's just taken place with Judas Iscariot. And one commentator said this. He said that it's definitely pointing to the eternal consequence of life disconnected from Christ. And I don't know about you, but that stirs me, that motivates me, because we've got some work to do. But what I do want you to notice, and this is another angle, is that there's two types of disregarded branches in the story. And the first part is when the gardener comes around and he does some pruning. And why does he do that? He does that because if you do that, you end up producing more fruit. Now, it might hurt and be painful for a season, but the reason why a gardener does that is so that it can produce more fruit. And then the second type is the type that's disconnected from the vine for whatever reason. It's fallen off or it's died and the gardener comes around and he cleans it all up. So, what does this mean for us? And I guess as a Christ follower, that verse could be a little bit scary because, you know, you might think, man, if I don't get this right, I'm in trouble. But what I want to say is that the reality is that there will be times of pruning in our lives. There'll be times when the gardener God will come along and he'll prune off stuff in our lives that doesn't need to be there, that's not good, so that we can do what? Bear more fruit. Okay, so that we can be more fruitful. And then there will be times when we will struggle to abide in him and we'll struggle to stay connected in him. If you're anything like me, you know, I don't get it right all the time. There's seasons where, man, my relationship with Jesus is just tough and I feel disconnected. And I think the reality is that we don't need to be fearful of this, but we need to be real as we look at it. A key question here is this: if I'm not bearing fruit, why is it? It's an important question to ask. If I'm not bearing fruit, why is that? Is it because I'm not following Jesus? Or is it because I'm not abiding in him right at this time and I need grace and I need him to lift me up so that I can grow and bear fruit again? So that's the second point. Our third point is this. The next reason is if we abide in Christ, our prayers will be powerful and effective. In verse 7, first part of 7, it says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Sounds real good. Ask whatever you wish. And right at this time in my head, all these things, I want this, I want that. But there's more to this verse, isn't it? There's more to this verse. It goes on and says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." I need to remember, and we need to remember, that God is not Santa. We need to pray prayers that glorify him. Not prayers that are self-seeking, self-centered, or self-serving. And I believe the closer we are to him, the closer the connection we have with Jesus, the more we die to ourselves, and the more our hearts align with his. So can I encourage you? Let's pray prayers that glorify the Father. Let's pray for God's will and not our own. Let's pray for fruitfulness. Let's pray that in us, God bears more fruit. Let's pray for obedience. I'm going to talk about obedience in a moment, a word that, you know, I struggle with. Maybe you do too. Let's pray prayers of confession. Sorry, Lord. Let's pray prayers that will cause us to love each other more. Let's pray prayers so that people come to Christ. Let's ask God that more people will come to Christ. And we're coming into a season of that. Let's pray for opportunities to share Christ with our colleagues, with our friends, with our families. Let's pray prayers that will give us opportunity to serve each other and to serve the world. They are prayers that glorify his name. So in summary, we need to abide in Jesus to bear fruit. We need to abide in Jesus to stay alive. And we need to abide in Jesus in order to pray powerful and effective prayers. So let's move on to our second question. And it's simply this: how do we abide? How do we abide in Christ? How do we remain in his love? And here's that word again: obedience. Obedience. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Again, upon reflection, the times I have felt most disconnected to Jesus are the times when I'm doing my own thing. The times when I'm calling my own shots. And the reality is that obedience keeps us, keeps me connected to the vine. The second point is we abide when we love each other. Here it is again. We've had, if you've been with us for the last 5 weeks, this has been a massive theme. This is our strategic theme for the year: love. Love each other. My command is this: obediently, church, love each other as I have loved you. Here it is again. He says it twice in the text. And when Jesus repeats himself, you know, we've got to take notice. This is important. And then in verse 13 it says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's mate or one's friend. If our ushers could prepare for communion, I thought it would just be a great opportunity now to take a bit of a break and to reflect upon the love of Jesus. Because the word says there that there is no greater love. So as our ushers hand around the emblems this morning and we get to remember what Christ has done for us, I would love you just to ponder his love. And I also love you to just ask the Spirit of God to keep ministering to you, keep talking. Come on, guys. Don't hold back. And while that's happening, we're going to just have a bit of a video come up that hopefully will help in the process. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for laying down your life for us. There is no greater love. So we abide when we love each other. We abide when we model, or when we look at what Christ has done and we do exactly the same thing. We use him as an example. The third thing here is we abide when, and this is really, really important. Hope you get this. We abide when we accept the fact that Jesus has chosen us and appointed us to be fruit bearers and friends. This is unbelievable. And I know for some of us sitting here this morning, it's easy for us to know this, but to get it from here into here is we struggle with that. These are unbelievable verses, and we've got to get it. You need to hear it. This is God's word for you. Verse 15, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And then a gentle, important reminder. In verse 17, this is my command, love each other. So how do we abide in Christ? Well, we abide in Christ through obedience. We abide in Christ by loving each other. We abide in Christ by accepting the fact that Jesus has chosen us and appointed us to be fruit bearers and friends. So what? So what? Question I always like to finish with. Where does the Word of God this morning, where does the rubber hit the road for you this morning with this passage? Can I please encourage you just to bow your heads? We're just in an attitude of prayer. I just want to lead you through just a quick time of just asking some questions and hopefully helping you center into what the Spirit might be saying to you. I wonder if you could just filter everything down this morning that you've heard into one thing. What would that be? What has the Spirit said to you this morning? During the week, I came across this great story. I just want to share it with you. There is a story of farmers in the Midwest who would prepare for blizzards by tying a rope from the back door of their house to the barn as a guide to ensure they could return safely home. These blizzards came quickly and fiercely. And when their full force was blowing, a farmer could not see the end of his or her hand. And many froze to death in those blizzards, disoriented by their inability to see. And they wandered in circles, lost sometimes in their own backyards. If they had lost their grip on the rope, it became impossible for them to find their way home. Some froze within feet of their own back door, never realizing how close they were to safety. It was absolutely crucial for the rope to be tied before winter's arrival, and it was absolutely crucial for the farmer to stay connected to it when he went outside. You see, church, life in many ways is like a blizzard. And I'm wondering, as you journey through this life, I'm wondering whether you have hold of that life-giving rope. Are you connected to the vine? So important. So I need to ask you this. How close are you to Jesus this morning? Are you abiding in Him? Are you at home in His love? And I want you to be ruthlessly honest with yourself and with Jesus as you think about that. Maybe you're here today and you know that you are miles away from where you need to be. You know you're not abiding and you know you're not connected because you have been disobedient and the quality of your fruit in the fruit of your life is not great. Can I encourage you to know and receive and accept His love this morning? And can I encourage you to move closer to Him? He will gently, if you do this, He will gently and lovingly lift you up and restore you. And can I encourage you, you know, there's people here today who would love to stand with you and love to pray with you as you wrestle with some of that. And maybe you're here this morning and there's some things that you would like the gardener to prune. Ask Him now to remove those branches or those things in your life that are just simply not bearing any fruit. And lastly, maybe you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship or a connection with Jesus, and you'd like to know more. Well, if that is you, can I urge you to move towards Him? Move towards Him this morning. And you can do that by simply speaking to the person you may have come with. Or the other option is come up and have a conversation with one of our prayer partners or me. Nothing would thrill us more to be able to share more about Jesus with you. Let's pray. Jesus, continue to knock at the door of the hearts of those who are here this morning who don't know You. Give them an overwhelming sense of Your love. And give them the courage to draw closer to You. Holy Spirit, please help us to stay connected to the vine, to Jesus. Help us to obediently follow You and to love each other as You have loved us. Thanks for calling us friends. Thank You for choosing us to be Your fruit bearers. Prune away everything in our lives that gets in the way of us bearing much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.